I'm Eddie Pearson. Serve at the University of Arizona. So happy to be here with you. We got a crew here from Arizona. We're excited about that. Long trip, and we'll talk about evangelism here this morning. And I'm not like the big brain or anything like that. We'll do some interactive stuff, and we'll see where it takes us. All right. We got to pray though. Let's pray. Father, we commit this time to you. Grateful for challenges through the messages, through your word, through the music, through the drama, Lord, as presented today. And we're grateful for safety and travel for all those attending. And we pray that you would spur us along within this session. As we talk about evangelism, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, let's do this. Thought it'd be good to have maybe like, how many people are here? All right. How about groups of three? How about just a couple groups? How about you guys be a group? All this group right here, and how about all you guys right here be a group? Okay, and I want you to go ahead and do a couple things. So kind of go ahead and turn your seats around a little bit, circle the wagon, so to speak. Don't want to necessarily be a talking head or anything where you just sit there and open your brain and I try to pour a bunch of stuff in there, okay? And this is what I want you to discuss in your group. You know, we ought to go with a smaller group, though. I'm thinking 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's go with three groups of four. Can we do that? So, Matt, I'm going to have you. Yeah, if we could just have Matt come over here. I know this guy. And just how about three groups of four? I feel better about that. That way you get just boys again, okay? One group of three, two groups of four. That's what we're going to do. All right. Just to make it easier. And say hi to each other, you know, figure out who you are. Yeah. That would be a good thing. All right, so introduce yourselves. If you haven't, find out who you are, where you're from, what kind of family you got, you know. Go ahead. What kind of family you got, you know. Are you guys majoring in anything? Is there any sort of a major, anything interest you in life? Share that. Go ahead. It's all part of the session. All right. Okay, what are some categories that you have to take time and plan in life? What are some categories that you have to take time to plan in life? And I want you to talk about it amongst yourselves in each individual group and see if you come up with different ones. All right? So what are some categories, some areas in life that you plan? What do you plan? I mean, do you plan a vacation? All right? I mean, what do you plan? Okay, go ahead. You can use vacation. What do you take time to plan for in life? Go for it while I stretch here. And somebody ought to keep these, you don't have to write them down, but just remember them so you can go through them. What do you plan for?
So I definitely needed to plan for schoolwork and stuff.
All right, do you have some areas that you plan for? All right, you plan for school. What about, what do you guys plan for? Okay, that doesn't count. Give me some specific. What's that? All right, a summer trip. All right, what about you guys? You plan for anything?
Relationships.
Relationships, okay. Anything else? Do you plan for anything else? Any categories? What's that? All right, you plan for hanging out. Do you plan for a vocation? You guys planning on getting a job in a certain area? Does that take planning to do, right? I heard relationships. Hey, I'm up early this morning. I'm in the rec center with all the old guys. We're all working out, you know. And it's funny to listen to the talk because one guy, he's older, and he says, boy, the body changes as we get older. And I'm, you know, that's right, old guy. And there's a young guy, and I go, I guess we're all old, you know. But we're trying to be physically fit, right? You work with college students. You got to, like, have some fitness in your life. You're not going to make it too long. You got to work at this. Do you plan on spiritual growth? Right? Okay. How, when you to achieve your plan or to achieve your goal, to achieve what you want to achieve, what do you have to do? If you want to weigh a certain weight, you got to do what? If you want to major in a certain field, what do you have to do? You have to work up to it. You have to plan. There you go. You have to have a plan, folks. Let's see, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and He will establish your steps or your plans. All right? I like the way the Amplified version reads. Anybody ever read the Amplified? Yeah, it's real wordy because they give you all the Hebrew and Greek renderings, so it's real wordy. You know, translators don't do that. They actually pick one and say, we're going with this. This fits. But if you read Proverbs 16:3 out of the Amplified, it says this, commit... Or, yeah, it says, what does it say? Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him, and He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Isn't that interesting? That's wordy. But taking time to roll your works before the Lord, you commit them to the Lord and say, okay, here they are. This is where I believe I'm going, Lord. This is where I'm sensing I ought to go. And this could be in a relationship, you know. I believe I'm going to go with this girl. I believe, Lord, this could be the guy. I'm rolling this up to you. I'm going to commit and trust that only to you. And I want your thoughts. I want my thoughts to become agreeable to your will, and so shall plans be established, and they'll succeed because I know I'm doing what you want me to do. Oh God, help me, you know. So you take time to plan in life. Okay, discuss this now. What is discipline? Go ahead. What is discipline? See, I can sit up there, I can just open up your brain and dump it all down, but I want you to think. Go ahead, I'm going to shut this door. What is discipline? Max talked about it. Okay, so what is discipline, my friends? What is discipline? What is discipline? And I'll say it again. What is discipline?
Taking every thought captive and constantly pursuing a certain goal.
Okay, taking. Okay.
Calling yourself accountable in that.
All right. Keep going. It's a good start. You heard that. Okay.
Instead of being distracted.
Okay. All right. It's good. Yeah.
Passes of which you learn.
Say it.
Passes of which you learn.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you learn something, it takes patience, it takes time. It doesn't come out a lot of times.
Ah. Okay. So it's like you have to be. Did you say the word train? Did you say the word train in there? Okay, well, I'll say it then. I'll say it. Discipline, the idea of being trained in a certain category of life, so to speak, right? That's good. Anybody else want to add something? Discipline. I mean, what do you think of when you hear discipline? What comes to your mind? Military and what else? Anything else? Parenting. There you go. Discipline. Come here, boy. Come here, girl. I want to discipline you. And the idea. Go ahead, look at a couple verses with me. Go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. We'll look at a few key verses here. Actually, I have a handout for you I'll give you, okay? If you don't have a Bible, you can share or something. Yeah, we use the Bible in my sessions, okay? Proverbs 12, 1. It says this, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." This New American Standard, okay? The love of discipline means that you will love knowledge. You'll love it. You'll enjoy training in a certain area to gain the knowledge. And that's what I hear our speaker saying out there. You know, he gave an illustration about the young lady who really wanted to learn Chinese and all the symbols, right? And I work with a Chinese pastor, and it's really, really intriguing to see all the Chinese symbols. I'm going, what is this? He goes, very. it's complicated for me. But for him, he has 8,000 of them down. It's just incredible to watch him do that. So it takes discipline. Look at Proverbs 13:1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. The idea here is accepts his father's instruction. Right? I have kids, and I really want to instruct my children, and especially my son, because I know if he were to go that way, that may not be that he may experience extreme pain. You know, I think pain's okay, by the way. You know, no pain, no gain. I really believe that. And I want him to make his own mistakes and learn, and just like you need to make your mistakes and learn. But I'm telling you, it's good to have some people that can offer some good advice and some good instruction and training in life. And only a fool rejects his father's advice or training. Look at Proverbs 15:5. We'll just look at a few of these here. Look at this. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is a prudent individual. Look at Proverbs. Goodness. Go 15:32. We'll just stay here. Look at this. He who neglects discipline despises himself, and he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. If you despise discipline, that training, that correction, that instruction in life, that will mold you, grant you moral character, develop your mental faculties, and exercise and self-control. If you despise that, you'll probably self-destruct when you're my age. Right? I mean, I'm in my 40s. I know I don't look it. Okay? Yeah, you look older. But I'm watching all these fellas that I know that I've been walking, you know. Man, we went to college together. Some of these guys are older. I'm watching them all leave their wives and stuff. It's just terrible. They're just not trained. These are undisciplined people. And they're all pastors, you know, which is really sad. So I'm telling you, we have to be disciplined people. All right, you've got to be. So discipline is a key. So go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll look at a passage that deals with the idea of discipline. Hebrews 12, chapter 5, or chapter 12, verses 5, and I think we'll go through 13, okay? That makes sense. Just kind of look on. Okay, he's talking about Christ's example of endurance. And let's just kind of read along with me. And I'm reading New American Standard. And you have forgotten the exhortation which you addressed to your sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. It's for discipline that you endure. Talked about endurance this morning in the message, right? It's for discipline that you endure. Verse 7, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And read in here the idea of instruct towards moral character, instruction, self-control. But if you're without discipline, of which you have all become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best, but he disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness. And here's a verse we all know. We've all heard. Verse 12. All discipline, for the moment, seems painful. It's not joyful. It's painful. But sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen. Right? Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Right? This whole idea of discipline. Good passage right here. What I want to present to you is the idea that evangelism is a discipline. Okay? It's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline in a Christian life. I mean, you're taking time to, I don't know if you went to Max's Scripture Memory Seminar. Let's see. They got my pack here. I've been doing this since I've been a sophomore in college. I memorized all my verses walking between classes in college, by the way. And, you know, usually, but sometimes I would be walking, I'd be working on a verse, you know, and a friend would come, yo, Ed, how you doing, man? Oh, pretty good, darn. So I'm talking. I didn't get to memorize or anything. But I remember, I'm telling you, I memorized all my verses in college, walking in between classes. And I just found that that discipline could be developed with not any extra time, just the regular time in my day. And I could do that, and I still do it. Okay? Just walking over to get a little coffee this morning, you can review your verses. You can do it. Just regular everyday type stuff, okay? I'll give you some verses here in a minute, too, that I think would be good for you to work on. So, Scripture memory is a discipline. Bible study is a discipline. Taking time to really be a man or a woman of prayer is a discipline. Fasting is a discipline. Having times of solitude is a discipline, right? There are other disciplines you can mention and have been mentioned here. But I really want to encourage you to consider that evangelism is a discipline within the spiritual realm, within Christian life. Okay? So, further said, I have a little handout here for you. And we'll look at this. In fact, I tell you what, I'll give one of these, you guys just kind of pass them down. I think there might be enough here. There should be three sheets per one here. Here you guys go. Yeah, I think I've got them kind of crossways, so just grab a stack, and you can look at that. And we've already kind of gone through these first few here, and you'll notice on sheet one, you know, it does talk about what we just done here. But there are many ways that you can look at discipline, and look at these. There's like five of them. You can accept it, not too happily either, resignedly accept it. You can accept discipline with a grim sense of getting over it as soon as possible. I got to get over this, man. You know, like, I don't like Brussels sprouts. I just think they're terrible, absolutely terrible. And when I'm fed Brussels sprouts, I just get over them. I eat them quick. I don't want to be rude and leave them there. Look at three. You accept it with self-pity at the end. This is from Barclay here. I just like this. Thought I'd throw that in there for you. It's free. No extra charge. A man may accept discipline as a punishment which he resents. What did I do to deserve that? Oh, you know. And you may accept discipline as coming from a loving father. All right. So just food for thought here. You can read those on your own. So evangelism is a discipline. Look at sheet number two. And this is kind of a little academics that I wanted to put together for you. Because I just think this is really good stuff. Evangelism is a discipline. The Drift, in 1922, J.E. Conant wrote a book called Every Member Evangelism, and he said the drift is to move away from evangelism. He said that's the drift in the Christian life. We don't. And you think about driftwood. When you put driftwood, when you throw something in a stream, in a river, what does it do? It drifts, baby, and it drifts away from you. Evangelism drifts away from you. All right. The spiritual disciplines will drift away from you if you do not hone them. If you do not work at these, they will drift away. Evangelism, and I said spiritual gift, but I meant to say discipline. Evangelism as a discipline will drift away from you. I really don't believe that evangelism is a spiritual gift, okay? There is the spiritual gift of the evangelist, as you see in Ephesians, all right? Philip was the evangelist. You do see the gift of the evangelist, but you don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says the gift of evangelism, because we're all commissioned to share the gospel, all right? And that's really what today is about, is the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Romans 1:16, right? The gospel is the power, the dunamis, the power of God. The key is getting the gospel out there. And how are we going to do this? Remaining biblically faithful, culturally relevant. How are we going to do this? All right, so every Wednesday we have an outreach booth on our mall at University of Arizona. And it's developing. I like it. I see one of our students is here, and he comes and hangs out there. It's pretty interesting. And it's just something we do as a community of believers. We have an outreach booth. And I'll take some guys and gals out, and we'll do initiative evangelism. But also, we're just there to meet people. And I'm out there one day. I mean, I've got all kinds of stories over the past few years. But this just happened a few weeks ago. Right, and I'll just kind of stand over here. Our booth is like right, here's our booth, right? We're sitting at our booth, and the biggest, buffest guy comes walking by. You know, usually as guys, girls, we kind of scope out guys. We think, I can take him. I can take him. This guy walked by, I'm thinking, I can't take this guy. He's just, his arms are like this. I go, man, look at that guy. Golly, I couldn't take him. I'm even telling one of the guys in the booth, I can't take this guy. I don't think I could take him. And anyway, he gets back there. I notice he's got a big old Bible, right? He's walking over here, and I go, I wonder what he's doing. And he gets right behind our Christian Challenge booth, like right over here, and he goes like this. Thus saith the Lord, repent! He's just screaming at all the students at the University of Arizona. You're going to go to hell! And he's just going crazy. And since he's right here and people look at him, they see our booth right there, and they go, no, you're sponsoring this guy, you people. And I'm going, oh, man. So I go over there. I found his name is Dwayne. And he's taking a little break from screaming at everybody. I go, Dwayne, I said, what do you do besides this? You know, besides screaming at college students that they're all going to die and go to hell, what do you do? He said, he's actually a trainer. He's a flight trainer for the Air Force Base, right? And I'm thinking, you're the buffest flight trainer I've ever seen, buddy. So he's over there, and I said, you do this? He goes, God, this is what God wants me to do. I go, the Lord wants you to come to the University of Arizona on my mission field and scream at my people. And he looks at me. I said, that's what the Lord wants you to do. I said, let me ask you this. I said, could you get me on the Air Force Base? I said, and could I bring my Bible? And could I stand outside? How many recruits you got? You go to a couple hundred. I said, could I stand outside of your training facility so when all your recruits come out, I could scream at them and tell them they're all going to hell? And our eyes met, and I thought, okay, he's going to take me now. This guy is just going to body slam me. I am dead. At least I know the Lord, you know. And I said, you don't think that would be appropriate, do you? And I said, that's how I feel about you screaming and yelling at our students here on this campus. That's all I said, and I walked away, and then he kept screaming and yelling for another 30 minutes, and then he left, okay? He was going to do what he was going to do. So I want to be biblically faithful. I also want to be culturally relevant in this, too. I don't want to dumb things down, right? But I want to get it out there. The key is the gospel, okay? The power is in the gospel. The power is not in my smile, right? The power is not in my speaking ability. The power is in the message of the gospel. And how will you get the message of the gospel to the people group that God has placed you with, okay? You heard our speaker yesterday. Let's get the gospel to your Gentile population, your non-Christian population. How are you going to do that? And how are you going to do that effectively and consistently? And that's what we're about here, okay? I mean, we're here, Hyatt and I said, all right, Lord, who's my group here? And we drive up, and two guys come walking. I said, maybe this is them. And sure enough, you know, I've been able to talk to two guys twice already since we've been here. Actually, rode the elevator with one of these guys working here. I said, this is pretty cool, man. And, you know, a lot of the guys working here are college graduates already and girls. They already have their degrees, and they've done well, right? And they're just looking for a job. And they're taking this because they make good money working here at the Grand Hyatt. Just so you know, these are not flunkies. You know, what, the guy I'm talking to is an excellent student in graphic design. Graduated from Boston University. All right, this is a sharp cookie, and he's parking cars out there, making good money, okay? But he's wanting, he really is seeking a good job, so just so you know that. All right, look at sheet number two here. The drift is to move away from evangelism. We plant churches, we start ministries, evangelism is the deal, right? We're going to get going, we're going to reach people, and that is a good thing. And then as, you kind of look at it like a clock, a little sundial here, I guess. We start here, and evangelism is central, right? And we're reaching people. We get our core group, and it's going well. We're still reaching people, our core group. And then we get about right there at the top of the sundial. And all of a sudden, we have money. And we have the, I'm thinking of church planning specifically, okay? And then we have money. We're financially solvent. And, you know, and then we get bureaucratic. We get organizational skills, blah, 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 blah. And look at this. Evangelism over here was the key. And now, we have flatlined on evangelism, and then we figure, we got to get back. How did this ministry get started? We reached people for, we got the gospel out there. We try to get it back there, and it's hard to do. You can't wave it back. And so that's where many churches falter. They start out strong, and then they get over here, and they wane. Many, I think, collegiate ministries start strong, but then they wane because they get over here, and we forgot. We get away from the gospel. The drift is to move away from the gospel. Just like driftwood drifts away, evangelism drifts away, all right? So we drift, I say we drift away from the gospel, we drift away from evangelism. Okay, all right, so look at this. This is a little academic piece here for you. You're not going to get this in another seminar, so enjoy this, okay? Yeah, right. In 1382, John Wycliffe completed his first translation of the whole English Bible, and he translated from the Latin Vulgate, and notice he translated the word evangelizar, zare, from the Greek evangelizing into the New English word evangelism. Notice how he spelled it there. Evangelism. Isn't that great? So what if your Bible read like Wycliffe's? The following translate, and listen, in Greek, just so you know, I'm not trying to go too far above it. Does anybody know Greek? All right. If you want to learn Greek, you'll get this, okay? But euangelizo, this is present active indicative, and that word means I am evangelizing. Okay, like I am speaking, right? I am evangelizing. Euangelizo, as evangelizing the following scripture, the six closest words that they translate with euangelizo is the following. Whenever this word is in the Greek text, they will put the word preach, bring, tell, proclaim, announce, and declare. They don't put evangelize in the scripture. Wycliffe did. He said, no, it's evangelizar, that's evangelism. Yeah, it's evangelism. That's what they're saying here. So in his text, as you read it, he actually puts the word evangelism in everywhere where you see the word euangelizo or a variant, euangelizestai, euangelizomenoi, right, present active middle. Just, you know, if you know your English, you kind of know where I'm what I'm talking about. But whenever you see the form of the word, he actually put evangelize in there. So go ahead and look at this with me. Look at Luke 4:43. But he said to them, I must evangelize the kingdom of God to the other cities. For this purpose, I was sent. Luke 9:6, you know, he called the disciples together to send them out to the villages. And departing, they began going about among the villages, evangelizing and healing everywhere. What does your Bible say? It'll say proclaim, probably. I mean, just kind of look it up if you want. Just look it up in your scripture, in your particular version of the Bible there, and it could say bring, tell, proclaim, announce, declare. They'll throw a word in there. That's what translators do, right? But you can put evangelize in there, all right? Okay, he preached last night on Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 3. Look at this. The grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to evangelize the Gentiles, the incalculable riches of the Messiah. Right? Well, he read it last night, and he read it like most versions read. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles. All right, friends, when you hear the word proclaim and preach, who comes to your mind in the Christian realm?
Pastor.
I must preach the word. I must proclaim the word, right? The leadership, right? The pastor, the leaders in your church. That's who comes to your mind. I tell you, we've taken evangelism out of the hands of the people. And it's just in the hands of the clergy. It's in the hands of the pros. That's why we pay you to do. That's what we pay you for. And you do it. We're not going to do it. But this really brings it down home, doesn't it, here? Look at this. Look at Acts 5:42. And every day in the temple from house to house, they kept right on teaching and evangelizing Jesus as the Christ. Look in the Greek text. Don't take my word for it. Look in the Greek text, and you will see the Greek word euangelizo, or a variant of that word. You can translate that word, evangelize. Okay, so Holman Christian Standard Bible came out, and guess what? You'll notice here, I've got it right here at the very end. They came out and they said, well, you know, this does say euangelizo here. This is a variant of the word. And we're going to go ahead and translate evangelize where we believe it should go. So they at least brought six instances in the Holman Christian Standard Bible where they're placing the word evangelize in the text. And I think the word evangelize is a powerful term, and the lack of usage in our English Bible weakens its punch. It's my opinion. All right. And hey, Wycliffe died. You can see what I wrote down here on the bottom. Wycliffe died, his second edition. His followers changed the word evangelize to preaching. And the change has continued in all translations until the Holman Christian Standard Bible that came out, I believe, in 2000. Right? Isn't that interesting? Everybody just kind of thought, well, there's our English channel. Let's just follow that. You know? I just think that's interesting. All right, how can I evangelize faithfully and consistently throughout life? Look at a few more of these verses up here first. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to evangelize. Not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ may be made void. Look at this, 1 Peter 1:25. By the word which the Lord endures forever, and this is the word by which you were evangelized. And look at Revelation 14:6. I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to evangelize. Right? The gospel is eternal. We heard that in the message too. The gospel, you know, this is an eternal. We want to do those things that last for eternity. I tell you, sharing the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Baby, that's where it's at. Okay, so how can we do it? Consistently. Notice the next three words. Develop what? A plan. Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Please, Lord. You know, help me to do that. Help me to number my days and to have a plan. You know, just a few years ago, I was 18. And then something happened and I woke up one day and I was 28. And then I looked around and I was 36. And I woke up this morning, I looked at my clock, I said, I better go work out with the old guys, and I'm 46. I'm going, wow, time flies. You got to have a plan, folks. Teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, I want to be careful with my planning. I want to be open, you know, because I may have my plan here, but Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. So it's good to have a plan, all right? And it's good to have a plan with the discipline of evangelism. So I want you to consider, is this making sense? Eh? All right. Okay, so I would think you need to know the gospel, and you ought to be able to share the gospel, right? So I need to know what is the gospel. The Greek word for the gospel is the, can anybody pronounce that? It's Greek. I should have anglicized it, I'm sorry. I just got this out of my program here. It's euangelion. Okay, that's how you say it. It's euangelion. Euangelion is derived from two words. That's angelos, meaning messenger, and the prefix eu, meaning good. So it's good message, good news. The term carries the foundational connotation of good news in the verbal form. Euangeligesai means to announce the good news. So whenever you read in the passage, it says to proclaim, to announce. It could say to evangelize the gospel, right? To evangelize. You could actually put that in there. So, you know, What are some essentials in the gospel message? So I want you to talk about that in your groups right there. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Go ahead. Talk about it. Back to the think tank. What is the gospel? You're going to share the gospel. What are you going to share? Give it a shot. Hmm. Okay, guys. So bring it up here. Just what you're going to share the gospel. What are some what would you say are some essential elements that ought to be shared in the gospel? I mean, do you hold a sign up? You know, let me just tell you this. I got married a number of years ago, and there's a lot I can tell you. We worked at a youth camp, which is not the brightest idea, guys. Don't take your wife to work at a youth camp, but you're married all summer. It's not good. Those kids come at all hours of the night, hey, banging on your cabin. Not a good scene for newlyweds, you know. You just want to, it's pretty funny. They found our little cabin in the woods. So, guys, don't work at a youth camp, okay? Don't do that. Wait a year, then go work. All right, so we go to a local store. I don't know, it was Kmart or something, you know. And there's a guy out front, and he had this big box, and he had a sign, and it said, "Just Believe." Right? Just believe, brother, just believe. And everyone's walking by, and you know, my wife said, "We're here to get our items. You're not going to talk to that guy. We're walking by." I said, "Oh man, just believe. You know, just believe, brother, just believe. He's giving everybody tracts, just handing them out right and left. You know, people are throwing them in the trash or whatever. But I thought, well, at least he's out there doing something. You know, there he is. And so we come out. I said, "I got to ask this guy one question, Kim." And so as we came out, he's still going for it. Just believe. I said, "Just believe what?" That's what I said. I really did say, "Just believe what?" And he goes, "Oh, nobody asks this guy questions, right?" He goes, just believe in Jesus. Just believe in Jesus. I said, "Okay, just believe what about Jesus?" Right? And you know what he did? He walked to the other entrance over there, the other star. He just got mad. And I looked, and my sweet bride is gone. I go, "Ooh, that's not good." So I went and found her. So I was just, what are some elements of God? What do you believe? What do you present? What do you talk about? What do you share? Go ahead. Just give me something. You don't have to give me all. What's that? All right, Christ died for sins. What about you guys?
We can only get salvation through what Jesus Christ did for us by believing in
Him. All right. Anybody over here? Any elements? All right, redemption. All right. Anything else? What's that?
Love.
There's love involved. All right. Truth. All right.
Grace.
Mercy. Reality. All right. Hey, I tell you what, go to 1 Corinthians 15. No, it's probably not in your notes here, but go there. It should be in your notes. Look at 3 and 4, particularly 15, 3 and 4. Somebody read that, okay? Loud and clear. Anybody? Yeah, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, Paul is saying. This is what I received, and I'm passing it on to you. This is important, right? Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Somebody said love. John 3:16. What would that say? Right. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever or whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Perish where? In hell, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, right? In hell, but have eternal life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? The wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, what is sin? Sin is, right. Separation from God. What separates us from God is our sin, right? So sin is, the idea is it's a transgression of, we've transgressed God's law, right? God's moral law. We have. And we need to be able to deal with sin as we share the gospel with, you know, good news only makes sense as it stands up against the bad news, so to speak. You know, the light, you imagine it's pitch dark, and then the light can shine on there. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, interestingly, he would talk about the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, okay, the Decalogue. And he did say that these, the Decalogue, they're like 10 cannon blasts upon the human conscience, right? He said you have to deal with the issue of sin. Bless you, sin in an individual, sin in a community. You have to deal with that issue of just breaking God's moral law. You've got to deal with that, all right? And there are 10 of them. Hey, and this is interesting. A bunch of us, had a big snowball fight. He was dogged yesterday, by the way, this guy in the corner. But we were over there by the state capitol, and there's a monument of the Ten Commandments over there, right there. And I go, well, look at this. So we looked at it. We took a little picture there. Right here in the middle of Denver, man, is the Decalogue. Right? I just think that's pretty cool. That is God's, that's the moral law, right? Have we broken God's moral law? And I've run into people that haven't sinned. You probably have too. You know, Dudley C. talked about sitting at the table. Friends, we've got to be able to sit at the table with our the group that the Lord has placed us in to reach. Our Gentile community, we've got to be able to sit at the table. And you've got to be able to ask this question. Do you have any interest in spiritual matters? Where are you at? Where's that interest? All right, you know about family and friends here, right? I think you guys know each other's names. You talked about your family a little bit. You talked about your interest, your major. Is that correct? The next question I always like to ask is, what interest do you have in spiritual matters? Right? And you know, what's interesting is I'm actually building a little relationship here with most people. You know, with these two bros working here, kind of got a little relationship. I can pretty much tell you about these guys right now, you know. I know what their family life is like. I know what their interests are like. Just in a few short minutes. And I'm wondering what their spiritual interest or their spiritual background is. I'm working there now. I'm trying to get there. I thought I would get there today. So maybe I'll get there sometime later today. But what is their spiritual background? Okay? When you have an opportunity to share, and this is firm, you might want to write this down, FIRM. It's just, you can say it's just real... It's real rote, you know, but some people call it fire, you know, or whatever you want to call it. I learned firm, and it's FIRM. It's family, interest, religious background, or spiritual interest, and the message, FIRM. I'm telling you, I really believe that you may know an individual for 2 minutes, and you can learn all about their family, all about their interest, all about their spiritual background in 2 minutes. And you may be able to share. Share the gospel in 2 minutes. It may take you 2 hours. It may be 2 days. It may be 2 months. It may be 2 years. I don't know. Okay, throughout life you have single contact encounters and you have multi contact encounters throughout life. And you want to learn how to evangelize consistently and faithfully. So you want to learn who are these single contact encounters? Who are the multi contact encounters? Right? Okay, so does that make sense to anybody? Like, what would you think a single contact encounter might be in life?
It's people yelling about it too, like once or twice. Like, if you're eating in a restaurant down here in downtown Denver, you just have a layer of interest and you just share with them.
Yeah, then that would be a single contact encounter where you just meet somebody maybe once. That's it, right? And then you will have many of those, by the way, in life, right? Many of those. But you know what you also have in life? You will have multi-contact encounters. And I'm telling you guys, you can really capitalize on these throughout your whole life, these multi-contact encounters. And this is actually Will Rainey, he's an evangelism professor at New Orleans Seminary. He coined this term, single multi-contact encounters, in his book, which is an excellent book, The Art of Personal Soul Winning. Highly recommend it. But in there, in this text, he talks about multi-contacts. And I read that and I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing this. All right, so this is what a multi-contact encounter is. I go get my haircut. Oh, it looks like I haven't got a cut in a while. I go get my haircut at Campus Cuts at University of Arizona, and I always go to Henry, right? And I decided I'm going to go to Henry. I got to know about Henry's family, his interests. Said, and I was in there maybe for, I don't know, third or fourth haircut, you know. And he's a busy guy. We got people coming, all these college guys and stuff, you know. It's a guy's haircut place, right? And I said, hey, Henry, I said, I know about your family, and I know, you know about your hobbies and all that. What spiritual interest do you have? Do you have a religious background at all? He goes, as a matter of fact, I do. We started talking. I said, this is great. And I was able to share the gospel with him, my testimony. And he does know the Lord, by the way, which is pretty cool. This is a barber, multi-contact encounter here. I shop at Safeway. It's a Safeway to go, all right? I go to Safeway, and I go down Debbie's aisle every time. Not Debbie's, but Debbie's line every time. She's always there at a certain time, and I go by, and she knows me now, right? Me and my wife and I. She knows me and Kim. And there we are, and we try to go down these same lines every time. I know the managers now. I know the meat department guy now, right? Because I go to Safeway. You can call it boring, but I'm just trying to develop some multi-contact encounters. My car goes to the same shop. I'm not looking for deals. I don't go to Jiffy Lube, man. I go to a mechanic, and I know these bros, and I'm getting to know them, and I hang out. These are multi-contact guys. I go to the same doctor. I go to the same dentist, although my dental insurance just changed. I got to find a new dentist. Dang it. Not happy about that because I like my old dentist. But you got to do what you got to do, right? So you can plan these multi-contact encounters throughout life. And you can do a good job. So I was talking to a group of girls about this, and they said, all right, they started going to the same beauty shop place. Same girl getting a haircut and everything. And one of the girls came out, she goes, hey, it worked. I was able to share with her. This is great. And we like each other. It's awesome. And I go, all right. And she continues to go, and they have a relationship built, right? Does it make sense? You buying any of this? All right, so some essentials that ought to be shared. And I believe you've all mentioned him. When you talk about sin with people. Oh, all right. When you talk about the work of Christ, the person and work of Christ, which includes his death, his resurrection. Why did they bury Jesus? Why do you bury anybody? Yeah, all right. Talk about his death, his burial, his resurrection. And you talk about forgiveness granted due to his death. There's forgiveness in Christ, you know. This group over here mentioned redemption, right? You might want to write this down, Romans 3, 21, all the way to the rest of the chapter. Start at 3:21, go all the way down. And if you ever wonder, what is the gospel? I encourage you to memorize that passage, all right? Memorize it. Okay, look at your last sheet here. Well, let me ask you this first, as you're going to look at that last sheet. What is the Great Commission? What is the Great Commission? Lay it on me. Okay, and where is that found?
Matthew 28:19-20.
All right. And if you want to put 18 in there, you can. I put 18 in your sheet there. All right, very good. Okay. What about Luke? Does Luke have a great commission? What about Mark? Does Mark have a great commission? What about John? Does John have a great commission? Does Luke double up on his great commission? Luke and Acts, right? Friends, there's more than one great commission text. Each gospel has a great commission text, and I have them all here for you, okay? Matthew 4:19 says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 28:18-20 says, go therefore and make disciples. So I'm telling you, just with the Matthew text, what my plan would be as I am evangelizing, right? Those I reach my peers for Christ, as I'm reaching my peers for Christ, I'm making disciples, right? So those two bookends right there, right? Reach your peers for Christ. We're fishing for, as we fish for people, we're making disciples. It's all right there, okay? Well, look at Mark. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is Mark's version of the Great Commission, right? Every gospel writer, every evangelist has their version of the Great Commission. And so notice his is his is worldwide here, right? Matthew's is worldwide. Look at Luke's. I'm a fan of Luke. Luke is a medical doctor. very meticulous man, mentions blood more than any other Gospels. And notice what he says, and he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Sounds like a great commission to me, doesn't it? This is Luke's version of the Great Commission. Hey, and notice in Luke's version, he actually has the elements of the gospel. Do you have the elements of the gospel in Matthew? You have making disciples. That's key. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to get after it. And with these participials here, phrases, I want you to baptize. I want you to teach. Right? I want you to make disciples. Mate tousate is the verb, the aorist tense. So we're baptizing, we're teaching, we're observing all that we've commanded. We're going in all the world, we're preaching. And here's Luke, and he says, Christ will suffer, he'll rise again. And in this, we need that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. You're witnesses. Let's get after it. Let's go do this. Look at John 20, 21. Got a little typo there, 21's twice, I noticed. So Jesus again said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. In Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the remotest part of the earth. I would encourage you to memorize these. I'd put them on those little cards the guy gave us, you know. They're selling scripture memory packs over there. I probably need a new one. This one's about ready to fall apart. What's bad is when you use them too much. And like, this is, yeah, that's starting to fall. Look at this. There's my verse. I go, man, I thought I was memorizing a verse. And look, it falls through. That's pretty funny. So, and notice the king. I just thought this was pretty cool. I got this from a professor. I just like this. I think this is the Nintendo castles here, if you play video games here. And you'll notice the spiritual battle is waged here in the middle. The gospel is presented. The gospel is shared. And, man, there's a spiritual battle going on right there. What will this person do? It's an act of the will. Will they commit their life to Christ or will they not? I'll tell you a story. Doing our little Wednesday outreach booth, went out with one of our guys, and you know, just like the text says, and Jesus gathered the 12, and he said, I want you to go out to the village. I want you to evangelize, right? And so I do practice initiative evangelism. Some of you might consider that cold turkey. I don't. I just think it's initiative. I'd ask permission. You know, my approach is this. Hey, I'm, what's your name?
Craig.
Craig. Hey, I'm Eddie. This is my friend Craig. We're from Christian Challenge on campus. Do you know where that's located? And they'll say, yeah, it's by the Marriott Hotel. Or no, I don't, because I want them to speak. So I'm not a monologue guy. I believe evangelism is a conversation. I don't believe it's a monologue. I'm not a track sitter where I'm going to sit down and just, you know, run people and sit down and through a track. I'm not saying that's wrong. If you do this, I think that's great. There are many ways to share the gospel, and you need to find a way that works for you, and you need to go for it. But what I do with initiative evangelism, okay, and that is when I have a student that would like to go with me or that I will challenge to go with me, and we'll just go randomly on our campus of 51,000 people, right? That's my people group, right? I got 38,000 students and all these faculty and staff, and they're all over. And there are a lot of non-believers on my campus, trust me, a lot of non-Christians. And so Craig and I approach, and what is your name? Marcia, all right, we approach Marcia. Well, actually, I wouldn't approach Marcia. Because we're guys, I would approach a guy. What's your name? Jeremy, all right, so we'd approach a guy. Because you imagine two big goons like us approaching a girl, she's going, oh, I'm going to die. So we don't do that. I did that before, and I thought, man, why was she so timid? I go, because we're guys, and we're 6 foot tall, you know, so we're going to quit doing that. We're talking to guys here. But, I'm Eddie. Hey, excuse me. Yeah, what? You may have an iPod on or whatever, you know. Everybody on our campus has an iPod, right? And I know it's just, I don't know. I don't know if they listen or what. I think it's just for show for most of them. Hey, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm Eddie. This is my friend Craig. We're from Christian Challenge. Do you know where that's located? Yeah, it is. Hey, that's right. Yeah, we're a Christian club on campus. Hey, we're talking to fellow students just about any spiritual interest they may have. Do you got a minute? Do you got a second? Could we ask you a couple questions? And you're either going to say yes or Yeah, okay, hey, have a good day. Thanks. Maybe we'll run into you again, because I'm showing respect. I figure God is sovereign, and if the Lord's really working in this guy's heart and life, in Jeremy's heart and life, he's probably going to be interested. He'll say, yeah, I got a minute or two. Yeah, what's up? And here's what I find. I read a report, the Harry Report out of UCLA, which is a great report. Anybody read that? It's a Harry Report. And they found out of 126,000 incoming freshmen in the 2005 time frame, right, as they came in, the study came out, 80% were interested in spiritual matters. That goes across our nation, right? That's incredible. And so I wanted to know, is that true? And so I keep a tab, and out of the last 100 students that I spoke with on our campus, 80 of them were open to talking. So I believe the report's true, okay? So if you're one of the 80%, Jeremy, you say, yeah, man, I got a minute. I'd say, well, hey, where are you from? I'm from, I don't know, where are you from? Really? Oh, are you? Hey, New Mexico State guy?
Yeah.
I'm an Aggie. I'm a New Mexico State guy. Just to let you know, I graduated from there. Yeah, I'm from Alamogordo, actually. All right. Which major?
Biology.
All right. So you guys have some training in this also, then, I would imagine. A little initiative evangelism training. So biology major. All right. What are you going to do with that?
I don't know. I'm just going to wing it.
Wing. All right. Sounds good. We need more wingers in there, you know. Hey, and so do you have any spiritual background at all? Okay, so, you know, I've actually asked permission. I learned this from David, by the way. I asked permission. Craig and I just asked permission. He gave us permission to talk about spiritual matters. So definitely I want to get to spiritual matters. This is initiative. I don't know. I really don't even know you, do I? You know? But I've asked permission, and I don't think you're ticked or anything. And let me just tell you, I just talked to a guy named Jeremy. Golly, just before school let out here a couple weeks ago, and there he is sitting on a bench all by himself on a Friday afternoon, got his iPod, he's jamming. Hey, excuse me. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm Eddie. This is my friend. I can't remember who was with me. Golly. One of the guys. Anyway, hey, I'm Eddie. This is Craig. She's going, hey, I'm Eddie. This is my friend Craig. We're from Christian Challenge. You know where that's located? No, yeah, I don't know where that's located. So, yeah, we're right behind you over here at the mat. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, ask permission. The guy said, I got a few minutes to talk about spiritual matters with you. Found out this guy's life story. Found out his major, all of his interests. And I said, what interest do you have? He said, I've really been wanting to talk about this. I said, well, go for it. 45 minutes, we talk about spiritual matters. I sat at the table with him. He's sitting on a bench right here. And so what I did, I didn't want to hawk over him. You know, I just kind of sat. Well, hey, I sat by a tree for 45 minutes. It was Jeff. Jeffrey sat down right there, and he was just kind of sitting there. We just sat here for 45 minutes and talked with this guy and shared the gospel with him. He had some exposure to the gospel, but the gospel, you know, I think the gospel for a lot of people, even students that grew up in a Christian home, I think it's like a puzzle, and the puzzle's not been put together. Do you guys know who Chris Elkins is? Chris Elkins, I mean, he was the guy when the Moonies were really big. He's a Baptist guy. Grew up in a Baptist church and everything. He was walking across the University of Arizona one day, and the Hare Krishnas were out there, and they were chanting and everything, and they loved on him a little bit. He was hurting one day, and he jumped right in there with them. He became one of their key guys, right? And he helped. He was a leader for this movement on our campus, and he was a leader nationally as well. And this is what Chris says. He says, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. He said, I had enough pieces of the gospel. They were all there. I had redemption. I had faith, truth, belief in Christ, sin. I had it all. But they were all puzzle pieces just all over the place. They were never put together for me. He said, and then one day, he was able to talk to somebody, and the puzzle pieces were put together for him. It was the Lord, of course, the Holy Spirit working him. But the puzzle was put together. And, he walks with the Lord today, and he really understands how to reach members that are in cults. And the key is, who is Jesus? All right? That's what you got to deal with. So I do practice, I say all that to say, I practice initiative evangelism. And the reason I do is I think it helps keep you sharp and get you sitting at the table with people. Okay? Well, I think you need a community plan with your ministry, and I don't know what your ministry does for evangelism, right? Yes?
My school, I go to Southeastern.
in Durant, Oklahoma. Yeah, and, I know where Durant is.
We have decided, we have like these small groups, and a friend of mine, myself, we're a group together. What we do is we try to get to know people on campus and try to spread the word and try to get to know them and pray about them and just show them love and compassion.
Okay.
I thought that was just really cool that we started doing that. And I've seen a huge, almost like a revolution on my campus after we started doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good.
And it's just really been an awesome opportunity for my campus.
Good. Good. Thank you for sharing. So on your campuses, you may have a community plan for outreach. I would hope you do. And yet, I would also hope and pray that you will work at the discipline of evangelism. It's a discipline, and you probably won't develop the discipline and you should set time aside to do it, okay? And that's why with our students, I say Wednesday from 10 to 2, we're out there. That's what we do. We're right in the middle of the marketplace, got a little outreach booth, and, seen a lot of people sharing over the past few years out there. It really works. And you have to plan on sharing And I know some people disagree with this. No, that's too rote. You see, Jesus just walked along, and as he walked along, he ran into people. He took time to go ahead and share in that context. It's not like he went out of his way. Well, I would disagree with that. It seems to me as I read the scripture, the man chose 12 men. And these are young guys. He chose these 12 guys, and he took time to build into their lives. And then he said, okay, I want you to go to these villages. I want you to evangelize. I want you to heal the sick, and I want you to evangelize. Let's get after it. Come back and report. He had a plan. He had a method. Okay? And we're about done here, but I want to go ahead and just show you a couple books. Master Plan of Evangelism. I highly recommend that you read this book. This is Dr. Robert Coleman. He is approaching 80, or he is 80 this year, I believe, and he still meets with students every Monday morning, usually I think at 5 or 6 a.m., and he works with them, builds into their life. Master Plan of Evangelism, and this talks about how Jesus took the 12, the disciples, and worked in their lives, principles, to evangelize the world. Master Plan of Evangelism, you cannot go wrong with this one. This right here, People Sharing Jesus, is one of the most practical books you can ever read by Daryl Robinson. And he actually teaches the firm in here, that FIRM, and how to walk, how to get to the gospel. And very impressive. So very practical book. I highly recommend it. And this is practical as well, and I think very good. He will teach you, this is a navigator guy here, Jim Peterson, Living Proof, actually two books in one. And he will actually, here in the appendices, he'll take you through the bridge, on how to use the bridge, variety of ways to use the bridge illustration. And I highly recommend that you learn a way to share the gospel. Okay? And I know some people are really comfortable using a tract. And I think that's okay. That's not me. I'm a talking kind of guy. I'm going to talk with people. Because just like Dudley C. said in there, I would pray that by the time the conversation is complete, right? It's not a monologue. It's a conversation. My prayer would be that a person's mental machinery would take one click closer to Christ. If they don't come to Christ, they don't. But I at least want them to take a click closer to Christ. I mean, Geisler says evangelism is every day in every way moving people one step closer to Jesus Christ. And I agree with that. So this is a very good practical book right here. And just let you know, like with the bridge, this is my little business card, Christian Challenge. Ooh, it looks real cool. But on the back, I have those two lines right there. Nobody knows what that is, except maybe a few of you, right? I can actually draw the bridge with this business card. And I've used this card, so I have these little cards with me in my little wallet here. And I may have an opportunity to share, and I can draw the bridge out right there. That's why I have that right there. I don't put a verse on there, or anything. I do it, because if I have a chance and the Lord opens up that opportunity, which does happen, I'm able to draw that. I do like to leave some tracks occasionally. Yesterday, a guy helped us find a jacket here at the hotel. He came back. He was one of the guys who works here. Don't know this guy, but I was able to give him a tip and said, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a director at Christian Challenge in Arizona, and the college students really like this. It's a Christian track. Check it out. See what you think. Maybe I'll run into you again. We can talk about it." He goes, "Oh, cool. And so anyway, his boss is there, the woman down there in the valet area, and she was reading it, right? It's really pretty cool. Celebrity intelligence test. You know, got all these rock stars and movie stars up there, and it talks about, you know, what do they all have in common? Right? Well, they're all dead, you know, certainly. Anyway, it shares the gospel, and I think it's pretty cool. I think this is a very competent track here. This, what is this, the NAM, do you know for certain, when you die, you have eternal life, you know, just... Evangelism explosion approach. So, all right. That's all I have to say about that. All right. We ought to pray. Lord, we commit this time to you. We pray that you'll help us to consider the Great Commission as in each respective text, the elements of the gospel message. Lord, help us to get the gospel out there. It is the power. It's not us. It's the gospel. It's you. It's the Holy Spirit working in hearts and lives of people all across the world. Help us to be a part of that in Christ's name. Amen.